Let's go to our opening scriptures. Please, let's go to John 3. How did I get over to this? We'll read John 3, verse 16 and 17. Then I'm going to share John 13 out of the voice. Okay, but let's read John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In the voice, John 13, 34 to 35, Jesus said, so I give you a new command. Love each other deeply and fully. Remember the ways, everyone say that's plural. That means he loved us in many ways. Say that means he loved us in many ways. Okay. Remember the ways that I have loved you and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. Everyone will know you as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others. Now go with me quickly to Romans 12. I may move a little faster tonight, because it's something I want to get to. And as I share with you on Sunday, you know, when you do the background on this scripture, you'll see, you know, Paul was talking to new Gentile believers. And there's some things that he wanted them to understand. The reason I say that is because it'll help you get a better appreciation for what he said in Romans 12, 1 and 2. He said to those new believers, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Message Bible says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. How many of you know once you give an offering, you have no say in what it's used for? And God just told us, place our bodies as an offering. That means he expects us to place our bodies, which, by the way, don't belong to us anyway. Okay, so he's already telling us what he wants us to do with these bodies. He's saying, give them back to me for my total, absolute control. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. The voice, looking at verse 2, it says, do not allow this world to mold you into its own image. I saw something on the Yahoo News page when I was looking up, and it bugged me, to put it mildly. And it's another reason why the church needs to step up and become a visible, mighty, moving presence here in the earth. So there's a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old singer wrote a song, Summer Fling. I'm like, what does a 12-year-old need to know about a fling? Okay. And, you know, some folks are up in arms, and, of course, other folks think it's just so lovely that she can just express herself. I said, see if you feel the same way four children later. Okay? You know, I'm not going to get back over here. But I'm telling you, when I see things like that, it bugs me. Because I'm wondering, what are they thinking? And I'm wondering, where is the church in all of this? Why isn't someone saying, no, I can't write that song? because I remember what my pastor was talking about. Or I remember what my youth director was talking about. Or I remember what the other children in youth group were talking about. And no, I can't do that. All right, summertime is a good time to spend with the Lord. I'll do a song about that. You know. But I want you to think about how this verse ends. Don't allow the world to mold you into its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. As a result, you will be able, and I want to stop right there. As a result of renewing your mind, you will be able. As a result of not allowing yourself to be molded into the shape and fashion of this world, you will be able. Or you could say you will be enabled. And if that will cause you to be enabled, the opposite may cause you to be disabled. When I say disabled, or whenever I use any word with dis in it, I think about, remember when we had chapel over at LCA, and that was a new term, and everybody was dissed. And me being me, I looked up the word, and I found out D-I-S was actually a word. It's a reference to a deity called Dispatter, which is a god of the underworld. So when you say disrespect, that means your respect bowed down to a god of the underworld and you became disrespectful. Okay? So when we refuse to renew our minds and we allow ourselves to be molded and our thoughts and our vocabulary to be influenced by this world, our ability bows down to a god of the underworld and we become disabled. We need to understand that. We weren't designed to walk around disabled. We were designed to walk around enabled to do everything that God has called us to do. We were enabled to understand just what His will for us is. His good, His acceptable, His perfect will. We are enabled to be able to discern this is God's will, this isn't. But that's only going to happen if we refuse to allow ourselves to be molded into the shapes and fashions and trends of this world. We need to keep thinking about that. I shared with you, and God told me to share it again. I'm going to keep sharing it until He tells me to stop. Just a couple excerpts from this book, A Transformed Life. Becoming a Christian ignites the process of transformation. Your relationship with God, eternal destination, and true self, it all becomes new. Yet even with all of these wonderful changes, we are left in this world, remain in this body, and stuck with this mind. That's pretty much the same. We need to be transformed. And it goes on to say, personal transformation requires radical change. Not just change, radical change. It has been said that the only things you can count on in this world is that nothing stays the same. You can change your address, your job, your wardrobe, your friends. You can even change your name, but your life will not transform until you change the way you think. You're wondering, I'll say it this way. Our oldest son was wondering why things never change for him. And I said to him, son, you never understood the principle behind 2 + 2 = 4. And he said, I know 2 + 2 = 4. I said, I didn't say you didn't know it. You don't understand the principle. Because you keep adding 2 + 2 and you want 10. And you're getting mad because you're not getting 10. You need to do something else. If you want 10, you're going to have to add more than just 2. You can't keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. You can't do it. Said inside, he had me laughing the other day because he was telling me at the church he goes to he talks to his pastor, and his pastor says, I was talking to Brother Greg the other day. He said, I'm sure he won't mind. My son said, no, go ahead, Pastor. He said, they talk about me in Nanuet. He said, they might as well talk about me here in Alabama, too. Okay. What I want us to all understand is that our present, our future, everything about us is not dependent on what God said. It's dependent on what we think and do based on what God said. Because if it was based on what God said, we wouldn't have to do anything. God would say it, and we just go on off and do it. Wouldn't have to think, wouldn't have to do anything, just the body would just obey God. But he didn't create us to be that way. He wants us to want to do it his way. It's just that simple. Proverbs 24, I shared with you. What does it say? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. All right, Proverbs 23, rather. And Hebrews tells us that in order to come to God, we must first believe that he is. You think, well, that makes sense. How can you expect a God to do something if you don't think there is one? But we are never going to benefit from being the church, being founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That'll never mean anything in our lives if we don't think it will. If we don't think that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, guess what? The gates of hell will prevail against you. I mean, it's not going to prevail against me, but it'll prevail against you. One of the reasons, because I'm going to show you one scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You can begin turning there. We talked about it on Sunday. And the reason, I guess, one of the reasons God told me we're spending time on that scripture is because when you read the Bible, you find out the things that God said that we should be doing. We should be preaching the gospel, right? Loving one another like Jesus loved us. Quickly forgiving, right? Laying hands on the sick. Casting out devils. Being prosperous and in health, speaking to mountains, and the mountains actually move, calling those things that be not as though they were. And if we don't have a clear understanding of all that, it'll never happen. Never happen. If we don't think we can do it, it'll never happen. And the problem is, when we come up against some things, our attitudes change, especially when it's something personal to us. Oh, we're quick to tell somebody else what they need to do. But let the exact same thing happen to us. We're going to be running around whining and just trying to find some. Will you pray with me? Will you help me with this? Oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then get upset when the person you go to says, but what did God say? I know what he said. Whoa. Okay. Then why, I'm just saying, why don't you just try it? You know, I'm sure it'll work for you. But we need to understand, because too many times they say, I don't know what they expect. I'm only human. No, you're not. And we're going to find that out. And because we're not human, we're not mere human beings, we are not restricted to the principles of humanity. And that's something we need to understand. We are not, tell your neighbor, you are not restricted to the principles of humanity. Now look at the verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a old things have passed away, all things have become new. God's Word translation, because we're going to read it in, I think, in four translations. Whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. Bible in basic English. I was reading this today, almost jumped out of my seat. So if any man be in Christ, he's in a new world. The old things have come to an end. They have truly become new. The Phillips translation. For if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become new. And I read those and I said, wait a minute. Not only am I a new creation, I live in a new world. I am a new person altogether, living in a new world. Logic will say, no, you're not. You're still standing in the circle sanctuary. No, I'm living in a new world. And because I'm living in a new world, I have been given a new title and a new operating system. What new title? I'm now referred to as the just. And my operating system is faith. Because that's what the scripture tells us. Now the just shall live by faith. See, I like to put them together and say, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm a new person altogether. I live in a new world now. I'm the just. I live by faith. Period. And I walk around like I live by faith, acting like I live by faith, because the old person is dead. Our thinking has to become, this is what God said, period. Nothing else matters. No one else matters. And we don't consider anything else because doing so puts that thing above God. And that means we've made that some other thing an idol because we're believing that over God. And we get very protective of it. Even say someone, you'll say to someone, or I should say someone will say to you, you'd never say this to someone, I have a splitting headache and it's killing me. And folks say, no, it's not. Don't tell me what's going on. Well, okay. Keep the headache. Okay. Just tell me, what do you want said at your funeral? Okay. I mean, what? But people that become so protective, why? Because it's easy. It's their culture. They fit into it without even thinking and believing that but with his stripes you were healed takes more effort. It takes more effort. Why? Because you are feeling something that's very uncomfortable. That's going against everything that you have read. But if you haven't had your mind renewed, you'll revert. And you'll give in to it. And God does not want us to do that. Last night, or I should say early this morning, I went to bed. I guess I kind of took a nap sometime between 12 and 3 a.m. So you take a nap and get strength to go up to bed. And so I go up to bed and I lie down. The lights are off. And, I'm getting ready to settle my brain down for a good summer nap. And Father starts speaking to me about tonight. And I'm like, now you want to talk? My iPad was downstairs being charged. And I'm like, I'm not getting up. I'm going to sleep. I believe I'll remember in the morning. Okay. And I had forgotten, I really did. I didn't realize it till this afternoon. God said that, he told me. I had an old-fashioned notepad. That's a little paper binder thing. Okay. And this writing implement, what did I used to call it? Oh, one of these, a pen. Yeah, that's right. I had one of those sitting on the nightstand and forgot. I forgot all about it. Probably a good thing because being that tired, I'd have written in an unknown tongue anyway. Right? But I woke up this morning and I said, okay, now, God, what were you saying to me? And I got nothing. And I'm like, oh boy, I'm in trouble. I'm like, okay, Father, I repent. I really do repent, Lord. Please give it back to me. And he did. And so I'm going to give it to you now. Luke 1. I know it's not resurrection season. I know it's not Christmas, okay? But we're going to, and I'm going to share this out of the Voice and the Amplified. Make a few stops probably along the way. As Deacon William would say, hang in there with me because we're going someplace. 6 months later, in Nazareth, a city in the rural province of Galilee, the heavenly messenger Gabriel made another appearance. This time, the messenger was sent by God to meet with a virgin named Mary, who was engaged to a man named Joseph, descendant of King David himself. The messenger entered her home. Greetings, you are favored, and the Lord is with you among all women on earth. You have been blessed. The heavenly messenger's words baffled Mary, and she wondered what type of greeting this was. I'm going to come back to this in a minute. All right. Mary, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. Listen, you're going to become pregnant. That must have made her happy. All right. You will have a son, and you must name him Savior or Jesus. Jesus will become the greatest among men. He will be known as the Son of God, the Son of the highest God. God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the covenant family of Jacob forever. Mary says, but I've never been with a man. How can this be possible? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Most High will overshadow you. That's why this holy child will be known as not just your son, but also the Son of God. It sounds impossible, but listen. You know your relative Elizabeth has been unable to bear children and is now far too old to be a mother. Yet she has become pregnant, as God willed it. Yes, in 3 months she will have a son. So the impossible is possible with God. Mary, and it says, deciding in the heart, here I am, the Lord's humble servant, as you have said, let it be done to me. Now, in the Amplified Bible. Now, in the 6 months after that, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a girl never having been married, and the virgin engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, the descendant of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, this is what God's messenger said, Hail, O favored one, endued with grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God, are you before all other women. And when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said, and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. But she didn't know that God was calling her, calling those things that be not, as though they were. God was coming and he was speaking things to her that he seen, things that she was going to see in time, but she wasn't seeing them at that time. How many times God come to you and said something, you didn't see him? You didn't see things he said meant nothing to you in the world. As a matter of fact, in many cases, if you were like I used to be, you didn't want to hear it because you didn't want to do it. Mary didn't know she was about to be changed into a new creature. She didn't know that she was going to become a new person altogether. She didn't know that her whole world was going to change. She didn't know that. She couldn't see that. I mean, it was, obviously Jesus hadn't been born yet, so she couldn't have had her mind renewed on the Word of God. But God still had to get her to think differently. So he sent the angel. And the angel shared with her, don't be afraid, for you found grace, free and spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. And listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son. He will be great, eminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his forefather, David. and he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages, and his reign there will be no end. She just received, as Pastor Judy would say, a phenomenal prophetic word straight from the throne of God. Did she embrace it? Not at that moment. She did what most of us would do. She got rational. How can this be? Okay. Now let's think about this. You recognize that this person is an angel from God. That alone would have been enough for me. Okay. I know without a shadow of a doubt, this is God's messenger. And he sent his messenger to me, and the messenger gave me a phenomenal prophetic word. I'm thinking when. I'm not thinking how. Because how is irrelevant. Because God said it. And it's easy for me to stand up here and say this now because I've had years and years to read about her story. She didn't have that. Okay? She didn't have that. She said, how can this be? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless thing, offspring, which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. And listen, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. And this is what I believe had it got it settled for Mary, because she may not have known spiritual things, but she knew about Elizabeth. Okay. And the angel said to her, for with God, nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. I think the minute the angel said that, boom, an explosion took place. And all of a sudden, Mary got it. She got it. And after she got it, she said, behold, I am the hand. See, she would say, I'm going to be. She's really bought into this thing now. She said, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. How many handmaidens of the Lord were there before then that the Bible speaks of? I don't know of any. At that then, she became a new person altogether. Totally new creature. Operating by a new set of rules. And in the world she's now lived in, it didn't require any conjugal activities in order to have a child. But think about this. I'm sure Mary already had plans for her life. I mean, back then, I mean, she couldn't have been a career woman or things like that because that just wasn't those times. So she didn't have her eyes on a job, but her husband was already approved. And she was just counting the days to her wedding night. And I'm sure she was, you know, but planned out a family, and she and Joseph probably talked about the things they were going to accomplish. So I'm sure having a baby before being married, or even acting like she's married, was nowhere in her plans. How many times has God come to us and told us some things, and we immediately put in it what we want to do? And not even consider what God just said. Go to Bible school. Yeah, right. No, God. Remember, God, we have this plan. Okay. Remember, God, no, we're going, you know, we're going to finish at this school, and then I got my eye lined up with this corporation. You've known all my life this is what I wanted to do. And after all, since it's been my desire, you gave me these desires, right? Okay. You know, this woman that you gave me, you know what I mean? It's okay. We don't realize, because we haven't renewed our minds, we don't realize we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And since these bodies don't belong to us, I have no say over what it does for a living. He does. I tried it. Yeah, I said the prayer and God made me accept Jesus. Okay. I just say that because just suppose the way it happened, I'm not going to tell you about it now. I've told you enough times already. But I still had ideas to things that I wanted to do and didn't want to do. And the top of the list was be a pastor. I mean, I'd just gotten to the point where I didn't mind listening to a pastor. Okay. But never, ever did I want to be a pastor. Never. And I know my wife, she never wanted to be a pastor's wife. I never. But God had a different plan. Actually, God had the plan for my life. I'm the one that had a different plan. But I had to realize that my life is not my own. And since I am a new creature, that person that had all these other thoughts and ideas no longer exists. And since that person no longer exists, I have to make sure that my body does what God called it to do. Period. That's why Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." She knew the risks, but she didn't consider them risks. Because that was an age where you didn't have a baby before you had a husband. And you didn't act like you had a husband before you had a husband. Or a wife. They didn't like that. They didn't throw bouquets at you at a shower. They threw rocks at you. Okay. The only shower you had, you got showered with stones. Okay. I mean, that's Mary. She knew that. She knew that was her culture. But she wasn't going to fit into it without even thinking. She had already thought about it. This is God's messenger giving me a phenomenal prophetic word concerning me, and I'm going to think about the cultures of these people? I don't think so. Since God said it, and with God nothing is impossible, it doesn't matter what these people think about me. I know I'm in God's will. And as long as I know it, I can walk around and say, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to what you said, God." Period. She knew she was going to have to tell Joseph. She knew that before Joseph, she knew she was going to have to tell her family. She was going to have to tell her father. And the Bible doesn't say she couldn't sleep wondering whether or not her parents would believe her. She didn't need their approval to obey God. She knew it was God. She knew she was a new creature. She understood that if God said it, it's going to be done. So how could she face all of those penalties for becoming pregnant without a husband? How could she be concerned about that after having a word from God that she will give birth to a son? That means even if they did throw rocks at her, they wouldn't have hurt her, because she had to give birth to a son because God said so. We have to understand something. The Bible says any man be in Christ is a new creation. Altogether. Old things have passed away, all things have become new, and that's crystal clear. But what we don't understand is that just like Gabriel had a conversation with Mary The Holy Ghost has similar conversations with us. He may not, you know, give the same type of greeting that he gave Mary, because this is 2013 and we don't talk like that. But he'll come to you and he'll say, Bill, this is what God wants you to do. Bill has to make a choice. Because when God said, when the Holy Ghost says, this is what God wants, he's putting a seed in you. He's putting it in your spirit. And you could say that's like your womb. And you're to let it stay in there and grow to full term and then give birth to it. Whatever it is that God said. He's still speaking. He's still impregnating us with his vision, with his purpose. We're not giving birth. We're aborting because we don't like what he said. The timing's wrong. You want me to actually team up with this person? Lord, you know how you said we have to love people? But you never said we had to like them, and I really don't like this person. And this is the last person on earth I want to be connected with. And God says, I want you two to go out in missionary fields together. He impregnated you with that. And he expects you to give birth to it. He's planted ideas in your hearts. He's planted concepts in your heart. And you're aborting them. You're not letting them come to term because you don't want to do what's necessary to give birth to it. See, there's some people that I used to talk to. I don't really see them anymore now because I'm not in those circles. But there's some girls home that they'd never have children. And if they ever did, they'd have to be unconscious for 3 weeks. Because they kept talking about the pain. And they said, no, some of us won't do some of the things God said because we listen to the stories of maybe one person that had a hard time. And we don't know the whole story. We don't know that God didn't really call that person to do that. Or maybe God did. And the person just had to endure some things and didn't want to. They aborted. They didn't say, I'm the handmaiden of the Lord, because they didn't think that they could do it. And the reason they didn't think that they could do it is because they didn't think that it was God. Because why would God ask them to do something that ridiculous? Well, if it's really that ridiculous, maybe it is God. Okay? Maybe it is. Is it, what's more ridiculous than you're going to have a baby and you're a virgin? Okay. Doesn't get much more ridiculous than that. But Mary, not knowing what we know, was able to say, behold, I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Folks, once we've renewed our mind, we'll understand that that's really the only acceptable response to what God plants in us. Be it unto me according to thy word. That's all we need to think about. With God, nothing is ever impossible. This is the last thing that he gave you. So I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. I refuse to be well adjusted to my culture that I fit into it without even thinking. If I do that, there's no way I'm going to choose culture or intellect or personal goals and desires or wants over God. So what do I think then when God says something to me? What do I say? when I hear he sent his word and healed me? What am I saying? What am I thinking when I look in his word and I see he wishes above all things that I prosper and be in health? What do I think about? What do I say when he says he shall provide for my every need? What do I think about when God says to me, you be holy because I'm holy? What do I think about when I hear that? What do I say? I say, be it unto me. Let it be done, Lord, according to thy word. Period. I don't consider anything or anybody else. God said it. That settles it. We're done. No, I'm really done. I'm finished. I'm finished. No, I'm that's all he gave me. And so that's all I'm giving you. God needs us to understand he's never going to tell us to do anything that he can't back up. And since there isn't anything that he's not able to back up, he's subject to ask us to do anything. Are we willing to respond? Behold, I'm the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. That's the question. How many of you in here has he spoken things to? Just stand on your feet. How many has God spoken things to? He's given you some instruction. He's told you what he wanted you to do. Have you done it? See, that's the question. And if you haven't done it, you need to ask yourself why you haven't done it. Is it that you didn't believe him? Was it other things that you let get in? What is it that stops us from doing what we know God said? And we have all of this information now. I mean, we live in the information age. Anything that we want to know are just a few clicks away, and we can find out exactly what God said concerning something. So why won't we believe it? Why will we continue to live beneath our privileges, regulating ourselves to the principles of this world? Regulating ourselves to the principles of humanity when God has made it clear we're new creatures. We are not of this world. We operate according to a different set of values. What values? It's called faith. What do you need to operate in faith? Knowledge of what God said. That's all you need. What did God say? So I need you to say this. Father, I'm going to do everything that you told me. I am no longer going to give any excuses. Because really, when I give an excuse, it's a lie, because there's nothing that can stop what you have for me to do except my willingness to do it. Well, Father, I have a new attitude. From this point on, you can write it down in heaven. My response to everything you ask of me is, behold, I am your handmaiden. Let it be done to me according to what you said. And I thank you for the grace to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can praise him as you sit down. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is serious, folks. I am starting to understand that God is at the point where it's like, enough is enough. Right? You are my children, and you're going to act like my children. As we've heard before, he's not sending another Jesus. There's not going to be another crucifixion. He's not making anyone go to hell for 3 days. He's already done. I mean, come on now. He sent the Holy Ghost. Who's with us? He had to come and visit with Mary. He lives in us. Always guiding us into all truth. Always. Always. You know, we should really be at the place where we don't need a GPS system to get anywhere. I'm being serious. All we need to do is say, Father, how do I get to this place? And then you start the car and let him direct you when to turn left, when to turn right, when to go straight. And next thing you know, you're there. Negative event free. Don't have to listen to any traffic reports. Right, because he said he will show us things to come. He will guide us into all truth. So since he's going to guide me into all truth, how can I make a wrong turn if I am in tune with him? And the first step to getting in tune with him is receiving his son. We have to have the son so we can connect with the Father. We have to. I mean, Jesus said nobody gets to the Father unless he comes through me. That I'm the vine, you the branches.